And we certainly want to bring to your heart and mind that God is holy, He is creator, He is all in all. He is the power, He is the glory, He is the majesty, and above all, that we can say with David, O God, Thou art my God. Honestly, it's life-transforming when you can truly say, Lord God, You are my God. I think in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we have so many other gods before us. I mean, it's just obvious in how we live our lives. And I trust that here at Westside, we can make the living God so, by His grace, by His Spirit, so alive that you truly will want to say, you know, that is the God I want to say. That God is my God too. Let me begin by saying Psalm 63 can be titled the Song of Satisfaction, with its theme being a hungry and thirsty soul finds relief in God. Chrysostom testified, it was decreed and ordained by the primitive fathers that no day should pass without the public saying of this psalm, because the spirit and soul of the whole book of Psalms is contracted into this psalm. Now, what occasioned this psalm? Well, we've already mentioned it, but let me elaborate on that a little bit more. This morning's psalm is a reflection of King David's experience when he fled before Absalom, which meant David physically was in the wilderness during its writing. But the beauty of this song is that David did not stop singing because he was in the desert. Physically, yes, he was in the wilds, but spiritually, there was no wasteland in his heart. Much of life is a wasteland. Much of life is one problem after another. You say, well, I've had a pretty smooth sailing lately. Just hold on. Life is not an easy road. But I think the trouble with us is we sing when the sun shines and we're blue when the clouds come and the rains come and the troubles come. Do you know that God becomes real when you can feel God in the dark moments of life? And that's what David is trying to tell us here. David's surrounding circumstances were those of difficulty and sadness. David's own flesh and blood was leading the insurrection. Absalom's mind was, Dad, it's my life or yours. And he was determined to be the last man standing in this duel. Honestly, the heart of a father could not have been more broken. It is one thing for your enemies to be your enemies. It is quite another thing for your kin, your son, to be that enemy. Family hurt is the deepest hurt. But yet in the midst of all of this heartbreaking sadness, and let me say this, it can't get any sadder than that. In other words, if God can shine in your heart in this situation that we're describing, God can shine in your heart in any situation. But David's words presented here throws up a clear relief that sure and steadfast, that there can be confidence of the soul in fellowship with God. Amazing grace is ours when we are in communion with God, especially in the most difficult of times. Now this morning it is my desire to show you how David reported, how he described this awesome, this wonderful God, and then his response to God. In other words, he's going to tell us who God is, and then he's going to tell us his response to God. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We have 2 points. We have the report of God, and then we have the response to God. We see that in Psalm 63. Well, let's pray. And my prayer is that David's report, David's response is ours as well. Father, thank you so much that we can look into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty God, the mighty Father that you are. And Lord, you are King of the ages. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Might we be able to say, oh God, You are my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one, David's report about God. David first reported that God is my God. And what an outstanding report. You know, you used to write reports in school. How many of you remember that? A book report. A report on what you did during the summer. I played at the beach. I rode my bicycle. I enjoyed ice cream. I played with my dog, Poochie. You know, I mean, that's kind of our report, amen? How many of you remember those reports? Wonderful reports. But here is David's report. And his report says, God, you are my God. That is an awesome report. Verse number one says, O God, thou art my God. This psalm begins with the words Elohim, Eli, which means the plural title of God is followed by the single title and may suggest the Trinity. And so really, David is encompassing the whole triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you probably recall that Eli is the same word with which our Lord cried out to the Father when he was dying on the cross. Remember, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why what? Why dost thou forsake me? But think about it here, God had not forsaken David. And so he had no doubt about the possession of his God. And so he could say, O God, thou art my God. And how assuring and how reassuring are such words, especially in the midst of the trials and the hardships and the disappointments of life. The strength, the patience, the perseverance of God, His presence, the presence that God gives us in the wilderness happenings of life. Now specifically, what did David report about his God? Well, the first thing that he said was he had seen God's power and glory. This God who is my God, let me tell you about Him. I have seen His power. I have seen His glory. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Which tells us David's God is a God of power and a God of glory. As he just declared, if you look back, I need to turn a page for my Bible, but Psalm 62, verse 6 says, He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Verse 11, God has spoken once, twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So what was David saying? He said, I have witnessed this glorious, powerful God in the sanctuary of His worship. To the point, he was glad to be able to go up to the house of the Lord. To the point that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. To the point that he said, you know, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. When David experienced sanctuary worship, he experienced God. Ladies and gentlemen, church will never, ever be boring when you experience the living God in this place. Now, it will be torture to the flesh if you don't. I mean, you can think of 55 different places you'd rather be. But when you experience sanctuary worship, it doesn't get any better than that. And you'll want to be here. You won't need a call from the pastor. Well, we sure missed you. You won't have to be begged and bribed to come. You'll want to experience the power and the glory of God in His church. And you will. Now let me say here in the context that David David was saying, you know, I don't have to just experience God in the sanctuary, his glory and power. I can experience him also in the wilderness. Praise God. Which is telling me that whether we're here at church or whether we're in the midst of the difficulties and the trials of life, we can still experience the glory and power of God. And so, might we be able to say with David that my God, truly, that God is my God, and that I do experience his glory, I do experience his power. And if we can say that, whether we're here or whether we're there, we will truly worship God. We will give him his worth. Now, secondly, David reported that my God is a loving God. Not only is he a glorious and powerful God, but he is a loving God. Verse 3 says, and notice the balance there between strength and mercy. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. What was David saying here? Life is dear, it is precious. And so we seek life, we strive to live, to experience life. We want to live, we don't want to die. We have our bucket list of things that we want to do in life, accomplish in life, experience in life. I thought, well, I need to write down a few of these that might be on my bucket list. I don't have a bucket list. Maybe you do. But if I did, I would say one of the top things, a train ride through the Canadian Rockies. Amen? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. If you want to contribute to the train ride through the Canadian Rockies, I will not turn down your loving kindness. Amen? I've written here, rafting down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. Wow. How many of you have ever done that? How many of you would like to do that? Okay. I've written here to visit some European countries. I've flown in and out, but I've never really spent time. And I know those of you that have been to Europe have enjoyed that experience. But David states, God's love and all its kindnesses are better than, follow me here, are better than life at its worldly best. In other words, God's love felt within our hearts, knowing the feeling of being loved and cared for by God, is far more fulfilling than any earthly enjoyment. Thy loving kindness, he says, look at it. He says, thy loving kindness is better than life. Question, have you ever experienced that loving kindness? I would say there are many Christians who haven't, not to this degree. You see, when you experience that loving kindness, it brings God alive. Spurgeon writes, 1,000 lives are not equal to the eternal life which abides in Jehovah's smile. And I add, in him and God we live. We truly live and move and have our being. Meaning God's love truly fills and satisfies our soul. You know, every day we get up and whether we have it written down or whether we have a mental checklist, you know, we say to ourselves, I need to go here, I need to go there, I need to do this, I need to do that. You know, you have these lists of duties and responsibilities that life, that comes naturally to life. I mean, I do. Saturday, well, I need to do this, I need to do that. You know, and you know, at the end of the day, you say, boy, I'm glad I got everything done. But life is too hard if that's how you live. I mean, life really gets hard if every day you're getting up and you're saying, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And when you get to the end of the day, well, praise God, I did all of this. But then you have to start all over the next morning. That is tough. Ladies and gentlemen, you need some loving kindness from God in that mix. And boy, it will bring you life-changing joy and fulfillment to your heart. And your duties and responsibilities will not simply be duties and responsibilities. they will take on a certain delight because you're doing it for the glory of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. It just elevates life. It transcends your living to an altitude that truly improves your attitude. Does that make sense? God's love truly fills and satisfies our heart. And then third, David reported that my God is not only my strength and my glory, he's not only my love, but he's my help. And all of us need help. Notice verse 7, because thou hast been my help. David remembered God's faithfulness. He recalled God's past deliverances. For example, from the jaws of a lion, from the paws of a bear, from the threats of a giant, from the spear of a king, from the armies of the enemy. And so he concluded, surely I can continue to trust in, I can rest in my refuge, my fortress, my God, even as I flee from the murderous intents of my son Absalom. God is my help. That is help. Have you ever had a job that you said, boy, I need help. I can't do this myself. Ladies and gentlemen, God is always that help. And by the way, he can carry his end, his load. After all, verse 8 states, thy right hand upholdeth me. David confessed, I am in the care and the safety of the strong hands of God, from which no man can remove me. John chapter 10, verse 29. Christ said, no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. By the way, those hands must be strong if he has the whole world in his hands. And so because God was David's God, and because this God was powerful and glorious, and because he was lovingly kind, you know, someone can be kind, but, you know, is there some love manifested in that kindness? And because he was David's very present help and security in time of trouble, David had certain responses, which are seen under point number 2, David's response to his God. Let me ask, is David's report about God your report? In other words, you know, we talked about that report about what you did during the summer when you were a little boy or a little girl. Bailey played with his dog, Bobby. If I asked you to pull out a piece of paper and write down how you would report, how you would describe God, what honestly would you write? What honestly would you say? Do you know what you write down really becomes how big or how small God is to you? In other words, well, he's a good God, you know. I can talk to him, you know. I would call him my friend, small God. And you know, if God is small, then he doesn't really have a lot of significance in your everyday life and in the decisions you make every day. But when God is really, really, really big, in other words, he's gloriously powerful. He's lovingly kind. He is my help. His right hand upholds me. I mean, God then really plays a significant role in everyday living. And that's the God you want. Because that's the God that will get you and help you through the trials and the difficulties and the disappointments of life, which are everyday. And so if you don't have this big, big God, you'll really have a small, small life. And you'll have to be on tranquilizers. Some have to hit the bottle. Some have to have dope. Some have to have pornography to satisfy their soul. What would you write down about your God? Well, if you could write down again that my God is gloriously powerful, He's lovingly kind, He is my ever-present help in time of trouble, then your report will be what David reports here, okay? Or your response will be David's response, or David's response will be yours. Notice what he says first. David's first response to this God was, I will earnestly seek thee. Verse 1, early will I seek thee. Spurgeon says, he who longs for God longs for him now. In other words, if you're longing for God, that longing will be present now. Meaning the earlier the better, meaning the chill of the morning is endured, the comfort of the bed is overcome. And early has not only the sense of early in the morning, but of eagerness, of earnestness. When God is truly our God, there too will be an eagerness of soul to seek Him early. To seek Him now, for we realize in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We know because we have experienced them. We realize in Him is the source, is the fountain of our life. And so why shouldn't we rush eagerly to be with Him, to commune with Him, to have Him talk to us, and we talk to Him? David continued in verse 1, my soul, this is still his first response, my soul thirsteth for thee. You know, all of us know that thirst is an insatiable longing. Water is one of the essential supports of life. And so when we are thirsty, that craving must be satisfied. There is no reasoning with it, there's no forgetting of it, and there's no overcoming it by simply mind over matter. When we thirst, we know it, we hear from it, and our whole being must yield to its power. And how spiritually beautiful it is when our soul has such a holy desire for God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. And we will not stop earnestly seeking God until we experience His glorious presence. In fact, we know, this might sound pretty unbelievable to you, but I really believe it's true. We know we will die apart from His presence. In other words, we won't make it. Won't you die if you don't have water? I mean, what's the difference between God and water? He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. And so I ask, does your soul have such a panting after God? David said in Psalm 42:1, as the deer or the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 84:2, my soul longeth even, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And the effect of such a longing, I think of Christ's words in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. How satisfying when you're thirsty to be filled with that fresh, pure water. Well, not only, and this is still under point number one, I will earnestly seek thee. Not only did David's soul thirst for God, but he said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The fact that both David's soul and flesh longed for God dictates that his entire being earnestly sought God. For he realized that all that I need for body, for soul, is found in this shepherd. No wonder David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every need and desire his body and soul had really found fulfillment through this shepherd. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 declares, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And do we not witness time and time again the faithfulness of God, especially in the desert trials and hardships of everyday life? I do. And so how wonderful to be able to say, I know that my Heavenly Father watches over me. He watches over me with His glory, His strength, His love, His never-ending help. When we think, I don't know if I can make it, we can again be vividly reminded that no matter the circumstance, God is always enough. His grace is always sufficient. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, does keep, does garrison, does protect my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, might we cry with David, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Then David's second response to God is, not only will I earnestly seek Thee, but I will praise Thee. Verse 3 states, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Meaning I will, verse 4, I will bless Thee. Meaning I will extol Thee. Meaning I will tell others of Thy goodness. I will, verse 4, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Hands do not hang down when the heart knows of God's power and glory and help and love. Spurgeon states, the name of Jesus makes the lame men leap. He makes men clap their hands for joy. Verse 5, my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Verse 7, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. I love the words of Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Truly, knowing God means we will praise God. We will praise God. You know, when we come to this place, we will sing loudly. When we are mowing our grass, we will sing of the glory of the Lord. You know, when we're riding to work, maybe you whistle. I have never been able to whistle. I don't even know how to do it. I know you think I'm crazy. I know. But you will whistle God's praises while you work. Can you imagine the testimony that would be? I mean, most people are grouchy. Most people are just mad. They're just mad. They're just upset. You know, they come to work upset. They work through the day. I mean, something's always irritating them. Something's always bugging them. I mean, they go and then they leave work mad. I mean, they're just unhappy people. Do you know what? Next time you walk down the street, look at people's faces. And just notice how many people look sad. Life is filled with sadness. Bring the joy of Jesus wherever you go. I will praise Him. And third, David's third response to God. Not only did he say, I will seek Thee, I will praise Thee, but he said, I will remember Thee. Verse 6, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias last night, and he said this, and I quote, true religion is what you do when you are all alone. And David knew his God was real. Now it has been said, the memory is the chest to lay up truth, but meditation is the palate to feed upon it. Memory is like the ark in which the manna was laid up. Meditation is like Israel eating of the manna. It is good to think about God. It is better to rethink about God or upon God. And especially in the quietness and the stillness and the silence and the calm of the night when it's just you and God. We rethink more clearly upon our awesome God when the distractions, when the work, when the activities of life are set aside for a few hours. And what comes to mind are the wide, wonderful wings that God spreads over us. Verse 7, wings that symbolize the wings of the two cherubim who hovered over the mercy seat upon the ark where the atoning sacrificial blood was applied, which all tells us the mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. As our memory verse tells us, the mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Psalm 103 says this, "The Lord is merciful and slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember God in this way? What a beautiful, how alive God will become when you meditate upon who He is and what He is doing for you. And I know that sounds so basic, but what do you think about when you're laying, if I could be very candid, what do you think about when you're laying in bed? Is God the one upon whom you focus? And then David's fourth response to God, "I will follow hard after Thee. I will seek Thee. I will praise Thee. I will remember Thee. I will follow hard after Thee." In the Hebrew, this reads, "My soul cleaves after Thee," which means, "Lead on, my God, I am pursuing you. I'm following as near, as close to you as I can." The idea here is being glued to God. Doesn't get any closer than that. And thus we say with Paul, "Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Can tribulation, can distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" As, you know, "As I live all day long, I'm counted as a sheep for the slaughter. And nay, in all these things, though, I am more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord." And yes, David was walking in a dangerous place. Absalom was waving the red flag, which signified the strong bulls of Bashan were about to charge. But as David pursued God, as he clung to God, he found the mighty might of God upholding him, which tells me David lived. David lived by walking closely with God. He followed hard after God. Likewise, in the midst of the good, the bad, the ugly circumstances of life, we will be triumphant. We too can report, "God is my God, and what a God He is. For I'm seeing His power and glory. I'm feeling His loving kindness. I'm knowing of His very present help in time of trouble. And so therefore, my response to Him is, I will earnestly seek Thee, I will praise Thee, I will remember Thee, and I will follow hard after Thee." Ladies and gentlemen, here is the hungering and thirsting soul's prescription for finding relief from the trials of life. I pray this psalm will describe your song of satisfaction. Do you see yourself in this picture? Do you see yourself in this psalm?